scripture that I'm looking at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you have church Bibles on page 1020, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul here has been writing to the church in Corinth around the AD 55. He himself had been there for about a year and a half, a few years earlier, and been involved in setting up the church. He was now writing from Ephesus across in modern Turkey. And he was writing to respond to some of the difficulties that the church was experiencing in Corinth. There were some that had come in and were causing problems for the believers. They were stirring up dissensions and undermining false authority and saying that they knew better than he did. So Paul writes to them to challenge and to correct, but also to encourage as well. So we're going to look in this chapter at gifts, different gifts that are seen within the church. And Paul makes the point that they are diverse. There's lots of them, a range of gifts, many, many gifts and the abilities that people have. But they're all from the same source. So we're going to think about it sort of four steps. First of all, that there are different gifts. Secondly, where do those gifts come from? Thirdly, what's the purpose of the gifts? Why are they given? And then lastly, our response. So there are different gifts, where they come from, what purposes, and how we respond. So let's start by thinking about that there are different gifts. When it comes to the word for gifts, we might think about Christmas or presents or a gift to somebody, and there is something in that. Here Paul is using a Greek word that's charisma. We use that as a loan word in English. In English we use many words that come from other languages, but charisma we use. Charisma is translated as gifts, and it's used 17 times in the Bible. It's got a different meaning to have the same theme, which is that a gift is something that isn't merited by the person who receives it. So if I get a gift, a charisma gift, there's one that I don't deserve, I don't earn it myself. And it's a divine gift. It's given by grace. It's God providing for us. It's God's riches given to us. So 17 times the word charisma is used in the Bible. 15 of them is translated as gift. And twice it's translated as free gift. So there are some examples we can look at. First example give us an idea about what it meant. It's in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. So here Paul says, "For I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged to live together with you by mutual faith, both you and me." So he wants to deliver them spiritual gifts, some blessing when he goes to them. Another example, further on in Romans. Chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul is describing the gift of life. But the free gift is not like the offence. For if by the one man's offence many died, much more by the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So Adam sinned and we sinned in Adam. Christ has given us that free gift of his grace. Died on the cross and washed away our sin. That is a gift to us. Another one in Romans, a well-known one in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the gift that Christmas there is our saving life that we have, eternal life in Christ's death. So here, Paul talks about gifts in my word. It's making it clear that there's a variety of them, different ways that these undeserved abilities that we've been given. We have a wide range of examples. He lists them. So he talks about words of knowledge. He talks about faith. He talks about healings, working the miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, different tongues in their interpretation. But if we read the section where he mentions that, something else jumps out, and it's explaining where it comes from, which we'll touch on later. So he's saying that there's quite a wide range of gifts. He mentions faith. Here he's not talking about saving faith, he's not talking about the faith that somebody receives when they become a Christian. He's talking about that extra measure of faith, that special faith that people need at particular times of trials and difficulties. And I'm sure many of my brothers and sisters in other lands, in other situations, need a special faith at this time to look to the Lord and to trust in Him. Some of these gifts have meanings that we're not altogether clear about. So, for example, prophecy. In the debate over many years about the meaning of prophecy, prophecy in the Bible can mean, through God's power, looking, turning forward what will happen in the future, and that can be one meaning of that. Others contend that it's to do with explaining the gospel, explaining the Bible to others, and using the prophecies there, and telling them forth, the prophesying. So there's a contention. Some of the gifts might be supernatural in nature in terms of what their execution. So being able to heal through laying on of hands, or even to speak different tongues, maybe not human, heavenly tongues, some people think, or the ability to interpret those tongues. Again, there's been a debate for many years about do those gifts continue? Were they just for the early church? Or are they more to do with the aptitudes and skills that the abilities that people have? So perhaps as a carer or a nurse, and healing gifts. In some ways, it doesn't particularly matter. You see, we are given these gifts, we recognize there's a diversity. And that's the clearest thing, is the diversity, and they are given to us. They are a blessing to us. It's not an exhaustive list. So elsewhere, Paul gives other lists. So Romans chapter 12, he talks about other things. So 12 and verse 6. Having the then gifts different according to the grace that it is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. For ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there's other gifts there, other things that are included as gifts, not just the ones here. So it's a wider range than Paul is mentioning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's just putting some examples out to show them, to illustrate to them that there are these gifts. There are some gifts that we might not even think about at first glance. So, for example, we read a few months ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 7 there, he describes being single, not being married. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift and charisma from God. One in this manner and another in that. But as I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them that they remain even as I am. So on. So even being single can be a gift. Being married can be a gift. Different gifts that you're given. That's God's designs. Paul is then talking about this range of gifts. Not that everybody would have all the gifts. We come across the earlier Swiss Army knife, sort of red colour with a white cross on it. It's got different blades, different tools within it. I looked up to find out which was the biggest Swiss Army knife. The record of Paul has 314 blades or tools, chisels, scissors, and all sorts of things. 314. And it'd be wonderful to have all those different things. Although it weighs 11 pounds, so 5 kilograms, and carrying that around in your pocket would be not very easy. Trying to use it wouldn't be very easy. And perhaps in a similar way, if somebody had every single possible gift, it would be rather unwieldy, it wouldn't be very practical. So we have some gifts, we might have one, we might have more, but as individuals, we have our own unique gifts that we are given. We need to pray about what our gifts are, and to recognize them, what to ask to recognize them. or perhaps we might mention to somebody else gifts we see in them, or ask them to help us to point out gifts that we have. Should also recognise the gifts that others have and be thankful for that, and encouraging in what they're doing. So that's our first section. There are a variety of gifts, forms, some of which we know, some of which we might not. Secondly, where the gifts come from. Give us some people in the business or in the media. We'll talk about gifts or other things that they can do. It's very easy for them to be able to think, but it's mine, it's all mine. And it's a private, a pride builds up. They can do this, they can do that, they can do this better than everybody else, perhaps. Maybe it's some kind of skill or intelligence. Perhaps it's music practice. It's determination. Pride comes into it. There's always that tendency to self-made man and woman. We did this ourselves. We are what we are because of what we have done. But Paul doesn't say that. Where do they come from? Well, it's clear. Except examples. There are differences in ministry for the same God. Diversity of activities is the same God that works all what we know. Manifestations of the Spirit into each one across the whole. Especially in verse 11, but one of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It's from God. We receive our gifts from God. Prior to becoming Christians, we got carried away into all sorts of things, such as verses 1 to 3. We followed different idols, different things that caught our attention. But when we became Christians, the Spirit lives within us. We are saved. We are able to worship Him, to serve Him, and to receive and exercise those gifts that He's given to us. You read in verse 11, there's the diversity of gifts, but they're given individually. Each person is given their own individual gifts. And it's as He wills, as God designs, it's God's grace, His purpose to give us particular things. His control is His free gift to us. So we receive it through grace. We don't wander through a spiritual supermarket, picking up the shelf, or like this gift, or like this one, or like that one. We're given by God to us. We might pray certain times for a particular lesson, particular help, a difficult situation, a gift to help us deal with this person or that situation. The Lord will hear us and will respond. At times we might deny our request, we might desire to have a particular gift. He might, or a lot of parents say, you know, that isn't appropriate for you, that isn't helpful for you. And we won't have that. But other times He gives us so many things and the abilities that we can use and exercise and grow and develop. Again, like a loving parent, lavishly blessing on the child. So we need to thank God for the gifts that we have and for the gifts that we see in those around us as well. We need to recognise His holy wisdom in deciding what we have and the abilities and the things that we can do, and not be jealous or envious of others that have other gifts, but be grateful that we have what we've been given. So we thought, just briefly, that there are a diversity of gifts. And secondly, where the gifts are coming from, it's by God's sovereign grace that we've received them. And then thirdly, why do we have these gifts? What's the importance of it? Is it to impress other people? Is it to be able to say, I can do this, I can do that? Surely we've come across situations and examples where somebody in the church perhaps, as to television and other situations around the world, you think that person is doing or exercising that particular ministry, and they seem to be doing it for themselves, just puffing them up, a phrase that Paul uses elsewhere in Corinthians. But it shouldn't be that. Paul says it's for the benefit of the whole church. He recognises the dangers of this, that the idea of pride creeping in, and perhaps in Corinth that's already happened. Perhaps some of the ones who were stirring things up and undermining his authority were those who had particular gifts and abilities, but had become proud thinking of themselves more highly than they should, and therefore putting themselves, almost pushing out of the way, say, we're more important. This Paul, by the way, he doesn't matter. Listen to us, don't listen to him. When Paul uses a wonderful analogy, a wonderful symbol, series of symbols, of the human body. We all have a human body, we all know our human bodies. And we recognize that we have different parts. We don't just have a hand, we have hands and feet and all the other parts of it. And our body functions wonderfully because of God's graciousness to us. We have a body that functions. It might go wrong, people sin and fall, gets old and falls apart, but in itself, as a functioning body, it is wonderful. And it couldn't operate if it was just one part. And he says that you can't just have one part. So he says in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Foot's either trying to separate itself because it thinks it's more important. The body stands on the foot. The foot takes it around. And perhaps it's saying, let's get rid of all the rest of it. The foot's the most important part. And maybe that's what some people at Corinth are starting to think. They could do without all the other gifts, everyone else. We need to think careful not to think that way ourselves, not to get proud of our own abilities and gifts. Try and push other people out. Paul reminds them powerfully in verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, the many, are one body, so also is Christ. But by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Reminding them there, Corinth was a very mixed city. There would be Jews, there would be Greeks, there would be slaves, many slaves, there would be free people. A whole range of diversity of people, and yet all were together under Christ, all were there in the church, acknowledging Christ as their Savior. And that's a wonderful reminder that we are all united in the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that lives within us. And reminding ourselves that guards against thinking less of some of the gifts that they don't have. As the analogy that Paul takes on to explain and says, you need to think about this. It might be some that are noticeable. Our hands are very noticeable, our culture, our face. The other parts are the gifts. Might be the rest noticeable. Might be more hidden away. We're not exposed to certain parts of our body. Part of it is presentable. Or they're weaker parts of our body. We don't show them. But they are given special attention, special care, special clothing. In a similar way, that these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour, and our unpresentable parts of greater modesty. So God blesses us in this way with different gifts, in the same way that bodies and blessed with different parts. And there shouldn't be a division. No schism, in a sense. There shouldn't be a separation, it shouldn't be breaking apart. Because of the gifts that some have and others don't. The body should stay united, the church should stay together. Verse 26 goes further and says, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. But if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So, for example, when you hurt your hand, your whole body feels the pain. It isn't just your hand that's injured, but your whole body experiences it. When our church, somebody in our church is suffering, going through a hard time, through pain, through loss, the whole church should experience that as well. They should share in that, they should uphold them in prayer, in support, and in love. They should feel that difficulty. When there's praise given, that should be shared through the whole body as well. A silly example, with my job, quite often, as we take love from people, we see a vein that we admire, and we praise the person having a good vein. And it's a strange thing to do, but that person doesn't just think, oh, my vein can be praised. That person says, oh, thank you. I think they're surprised that somebody would praise their veins. That's what we do. And they take honour, they take pleasure in that. In the same way in the church, when somebody is praised for something that they've done, perhaps what's asked, speaking to somebody, saying some encouragement to somebody who's feeling down, that the whole church should be encouraged and blessed and pleased with them to praise God as a result. Some gifts are more public roles and more responsibilities, goes on to discover prophets and apostles and so on. But others are all valuable. They're all working for the same root. They're all serving Christ. No matter what we do, how we serve Christ, serving Him is most important. Colossians, it's quoted, whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. It's Colossians 3:23. Now we should seek not just a variety of gifts, but we should seek a better gift. It says at the very end, getting into chapter 13, earnestly desire the best of the better gifts. And yet I showed you a more excellent way. He goes on to describe it, the greater gift being love. And love. When we read from John chapter 13 earlier, Christ was telling the believers to love, to have love for one another. Let's just turn back to remind ourselves. John chapter 13, verse 13. With this section, as Christ said, love one another, love the brethren. As we love me, that's an important thing, we must show love. Paul will go on to describe that later. So the purpose of gifts then, gifts are there to serve the church. Whatever our gifts are, whatever our abilities, we are to be done for the blessing of the whole church, each person of the church, and to praise our God. Not meet us. Close to our response. We thought about the diversity of gifts, where they come from, the purpose of them. So how do we respond? What's your responsibility to this chapter? We need to think of all, remind ourselves that these gifts are spiritual. We have been given them by the Holy Spirit. They are a blessing given to believers. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't put your trust in Christ, then whatever abilities, whatever skills you have will die with you. They're not of any real use in the last use. If you're a Christian, you've been blessed in the heavenly realms, powers, abilities of God. So if you haven't trusted in Christ, it's important for us to gain gifts. It's important to turn the life to trust in Jesus, to turn to Him, to recognize that in Him, God has given us an opportunity to be forgiven for all the wrong things we've done, for the sin that we've done through our lives. To turn to Jesus, to trust Him, to look to the one who died on the cross, whose death paid the price for our sin. Through Him we can give forgiveness. Through Him we can give blessing. And we have that certainty of eternal life with Him. And that's brought into the Christian church to be encouraged and strengthened by other believers. So if you haven't ever turned to Him, it's really important, it's essential that you trust Him and you ask His forgiveness. So Peter also talks of gifts. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says this. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When we exercise our gifts, we're doing it as stewards. We have those responsibilities. We shouldn't hide them away. We shouldn't hide our life in a bushel. We should be seeking to use them, and to use them for others, to build them up in their faith, and to give praise to our God, our gracious God. So what things can we take away from this chapter? What can we think about? What can we learn? We've already mentioned some of them already, but in summary, to recognize the diversity of gifts, different roles, different abilities, to value all of them, not just to take some as being more important than others, but to see that they're all valuable, they're all given by God, and they're all good. Pray for others, that we may be able to identify gifts, to develop them, to use their gifts in the church and in their lives. Pray that we might use our own gifts faithfully, to be faithful stewards, to use them wisely, to benefit and to help others, and to give praise and glory to God. If we do that, then we'll be able to show that lovely unity of mind, unity that's like a flowing oil on Aaron's beard, but I'm putting the dew on that fulfillment of what Jesus gave us as a testament, as a commandment, to tell us to love one another, to do it, to God's glory. So let's do so, let's remember the diversity of gifts, but we are the same through Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is so rich in telling us and reminding us that we have been given individually gifts by you. They come from your hand to us. And that's a wonderful encouragement that we are Christians. We have been provided with our own particular skills to use, abilities. We might not always recognize what we are, but we thank you for them. We ask that you would help us to recognize those areas that we have been given. That we learn to exercise them all the more. We will be faithful in doing so. That we will encourage others in the church to use their gifts and to thank and to praise them for what they have done, giving honour to you. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless us in our daily lives, that as we seek to serve you, that you will equip us and use us wherever we are. And we thank you for all this now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn.